We've been in a summer series, as I said, so this is the last day, and over the last couple weeks, Pastor Juan, Pastor Lewis, and Pastor Tony have shared just about restoring different areas of our lives, being restful, renewing our mind, restoring our passion. And how many of you guys know that life has a way of draining us, spiritually, emotionally, physically? On the 4th of July, I was over at my family's house playing cornhole, and cornhole is not a very active sport. It's like there's not a lot of movement, but I found myself yesterday telling my wife, I was like, man, that cornhole is catching up to me. I'm drained. There's also the sun. How many of you guys know it's blazing hot at 3 o'clock in the afternoon? But life has a way of draining us. And so we've been wanting to talk about ways to refresh. And today I'm going to be talking about prayer, about praying again. And so look forward to doing that. Before we jump into the word, I want to set us up with some context. So we're going to be in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 2, if you want to get ready to flip there. But let me let you know about kind of what's going on. So the nation of Israel had been completely demolished. I mean, walls down, the temple was destroyed, and it was total chaos. The Babylonian Empire had overtaken them. And so the Babylonians came and they destroyed everything. But not only that, they drug people out of Israel into exile in Babylon. How many of you guys know the story of Daniel and the lion's den? Maybe as a kid you grew up listening to that story. Daniel was in exile during that time period. So Babylon came, took Daniel with them. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is another story. They were thrown into the fiery furnace but were not touched. They didn't even smell like smoke. And so those Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were exiles taken from Israel into Babylon. So this is kind of the timeline of what's going on. And so after a while, another empire, the Persian Empire, they said, hey, we're going to take over Babylon. So Babylon takes Israel, Persia takes Babylon. So they conquer the Babylonians, and now Israel belongs to Persia. And so Persia's ruling over them. But here's the cool thing. The Bible says that God put it in the heart of the king, King Cyrus. In history, he's known as Cyrus the Great. And Cyrus makes this decree that the Jews can return to Israel. They can return to their homeland, which was a huge deal. And he actually allows them to rebuild their temple. And so where we pick up in our story is about 70 years after King Cyrus has made that decree that the Jews could return home and rebuild the temple. So we pick up with a man named Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a man of God. He was a Jewish person, and he's actually serving and working in the king of Persia's house as his cupbearer. And so he's got it pretty good, but he hears that one of his brothers from Judah in Israel is visiting. And so him and some friends are visiting from Judah, and so he asks them, he says, hey, how is it going in Jerusalem? This is, again, 70 years after the decree. And so this is what it says in verse 2. It says, Hanani, one of my brothers, came with certain men from Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews who escaped, who had survived the exile, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the remnant there in the province who had survived the exile is in great trouble and shame. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates are destroyed by fire. This reminds me a little bit of a report, if you were to give a report of the current state of our world, also the current state of even our nation spiritually and morally, particularly our own country. It reminds me that, suicide rates are higher than they've ever been in America. Addiction is higher than it's ever been. There's more people addicted right now than have ever been in America. Isn't that terrifying? It's crazy. Marriage and divorce rates are still astronomically high, bringing pain and brokenness to families. There's great division in our country. There's great immorality. There's great darkness. And sometimes we think that we're not allowed to talk about it. We feel like if we talk about these things that someone might be offended. But can I tell you, church, the greater offense is never taking the time to ask people how they're really doing so that we can hear what they're going through so that we can pray for them and ask God to move on their behalf. Amen. You see, there's some things in this text that I think will help us to lean in to prayer again. First of all, Nehemiah asked. He asked. I believe we need to get better at asking the tougher questions. When was the last time you asked somebody how they were really doing? Right? You got past the first, how are you doing? Right? We're really good at surface level conversations. Like the other day, I went into a restaurant and I saw someone and it was kind of awkward. Some of you, we all have our relationships and different circumstances. And so have you ever walked in a place you weren't expecting to see somebody and it's like awkward, you don't know what to say, right? So this happened to me. And so I just struck up conversation and this person was like, yeah, man, like, how are you doing? And I was like, yeah, man, I'm sweating out all my sweat. What? I'm sweating out all my sweat. That's the best thing I could come up with, because it was hot outside, to be fair. But we're really good at surface level conversations, and I wonder if we need to go a little bit deeper. You know, Nehemiah, he had a very comfortable job. It was dangerous. Like, if you research what a cupbearer actually was, it was a dangerous job, but he was well taken care of, and as long as he didn't drink any poison, he was safe. And he got, you know, he was literally living in a palace. And yet, when his brothers came from Judah, he asked them, he said, hey, what's going on? What's going on in Jerusalem? He took the time to inquire about his family. And then secondly, Nehemiah heard. He heard. It's one thing to ask. How many of y'all know it's another thing to hear? I am the number one offender in this matter. I can be looking at someone right in the eyes, nodding my head, and my mind is completely somewhere else. I mean, another galaxy. Like, I didn't hear a word they said, and I never know what to do in those situations. Like, do I tell the person, hey, I didn't hear a word you just said? Do I let it slide? Like, what if they said something really, really important, you know? But all jokes aside, we have to be ready to listen when we ask. The next thing that Nehemiah did is it says, as soon as I heard these words, I sat down and I wept and I mourned for days. Nehemiah mourned. He felt the grief of Jerusalem's situation. You know, one of the problems with living in the information and technology age today is we've kind of become desensitized to grief. We hear so much bad news all the time that we've forgotten how to grieve. We've forgotten how to empathize with the people around us, even the people close to us. Is it possible that we've allowed all of the noise of the outside world to desensitize us to the noise of our inner circle? That when we hear of something bad happening, we kind of just say, oh, I'm so sorry. Oh my gosh, that's terrible. And I know we're genuine. I know we mean it, but how quickly do we move on from the problem? How long do we sit with people in their grief, in their pain? How long do we actually think about it before we just move on to what's next? And the next thing that Nehemiah does that I think is the most important thing, and this is what I want to talk about today, it says that Nehemiah, he continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. He continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Nehemiah interceded. To intercede means to pray on behalf of, to stand in the gap for somebody. He didn't just listen. He didn't just grieve. He acted. He lifted up prayers to the God of heaven. And I'm not going to go into that prayer today, but it's a beautiful prayer if you get the chance to continue reading on in Nehemiah chapter 1. He lifts up this prayer to the Lord on behalf of Israel. Is it possible, too, that we don't listen because of we're afraid of what it's going to require of us? Like, if we really know what's going on, if we really know the truth, then maybe it's going to call us to action. Maybe it's going to call us to get up a little bit earlier tomorrow to pray. Maybe he's going to call us to stay up a little bit later or to shut off the movie a little bit early to pray on behalf of those that are struggling around us. Amen. There's an old pastor, E.M. Bounds. He was a minister during the 1800s. He said, "We do more of everything except for praying." We do more of everything except for praying, and that rings so true to me today. Yet the scripture invites us in multiple places to call upon the name of the Lord, to call upon the God of heaven and earth, and to ask him for help anytime, any place. And so often do we forfeit a privilege, a great privilege that we have to call upon the name of the Lord. Pastor Tim, he reminded us at the very beginning of the year, I don't know if you guys remember that long ago, we're already halfway through the year, but the very first month of the year, he talked about prayer in our All-In series. And he said, there is nothing that God cannot do. There is nothing that God cannot help. There is nothing that God cannot fix. And so I would encourage you to go back and listen to that whole series. It's really good. But in these next few moments, if the Holy Spirit can use my mouth to convince just one person, I really mean it, just one person to get on your face before God again and pray, then I believe it could change the world. I'm not joking. I really mean it. All it takes is one person to pray to change heaven and earth, to move the hand of heaven. One faithful heart coming before the throne of grace, as Pastor Sherry said, for help in our time of need. I pray that's you today. It would be better if it was all of us, though. So let's be clear on a couple things, right? There's things that will happen or will not happen regardless of if we pray. We know this, right? Because a lot of things maybe have happened since the last time we prayed. So there's things that will happen or won't happen regardless of if we pray. But can I also tell you the other side of that truth based on the Word of God? There are things that will not happen if you don't pray. There are things that will not happen if you and I don't pray. Look at James chapter 4, verse 2. It says, "You do not have because you do not ask God." You do not have because you do not ask God. Mark Batterson, he's a pastor up in the D.C. area. He wrote a book called The Circle Maker on prayer. It's a great book. Highly recommend it. He says, "The greatest tragedy in life is the prayers that go unanswered because they go unasked." The greatest tragedy in life is the prayers that go unanswered because they go unasked. Now, if you're anything like me, there's many times where I'm tempted to slow down on prayer or to stop praying altogether because I don't see the results that I want right away. Has that ever happened to you? You don't see the results you want right away. My 5-year-old daughter, Grace, she was sick a few weeks ago. And I was putting her to bed, and she had some symptoms. She had a headache. And I had faith to see her healed immediately. I'm not joking. I was ready for it. And so I prayed for her. I prayed over her in the name of Jesus, be healed right now. And then I asked her immediately, because I had faith. I said, "Grace," I said, "do you feel better?" And she said, "No, Dad, I think we have to wait a little while." I said, "I don't want to wait a little while, but here's what's so funny is my daughter, Grace, if you ask her, she believes that God heals. She has faith in the name of Jesus, and yet she was okay with the fact that she might have to wait a little while. And I just pray, God, give us the faith of a child again. Jesus said, to enter the kingdom of heaven, you have to have faith like a child. And so I just want to share a few more things with you guys on how I believe that we can lean into prayer again. No matter where you're at, if you've never lifted up a prayer before, if you've been praying for years, I want to encourage us to lean into prayer again. So the first thing is this: we have to be ready to ask again. We have to be ready to ask again. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41, it says, "And Elijah said to Ahab, 'Go up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of the rushing of rain.' And so Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel, and he bowed himself down on the earth, and he put his face between his knees, and he said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." And he went up and he looked, and his servant came back and said, "There's nothing." And so he said, "Go again." He did this 7 times. The prophet Elijah, who called down fire from heaven, he said, "Go again." And his servant said, "There's nothing." And Elijah said, "Go again." Servant come back, said, "There's nothing." "Go again." "There's nothing." "Go again." And on the 7th time, the servant came back and said, "Behold, there's a little cloud like a man's hand rising from the sea." Rain was on the way. Some things just take time. You know, we don't always understand God's timing. I don't always understand God's timing, but we can be confident in this. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Right? Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. He's done it before. He can do it again. He will fulfill his promises in due time. Jesus told a story to his disciples trying to explain this concept. In Luke chapter 18, it says, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me.'" And this is what Jesus says. He says, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. Listen to what the unjust judge says. 'And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" Will he find faith on earth? There is an endurance that is needed in prayer. There is an endurance that's needed in prayer. Something else that I'd like to challenge you with today is that we have to be ready for God to say no or not yet. We have to be ready for God to say no or not yet. Perhaps nobody exemplifies this better than Jesus himself, the Son of God. Look in Matthew chapter 26, Jesus was going off to pray. It says, "And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed." I'm noticing a pattern here in the Old Testament and the New Testament that it might not be a bad idea sometimes for us to get on our face and pray. You guys notice that? Elisha got on his face. Jesus got on his face and prayed. He said, "My Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, as I will, not as I will, but as you will." So Jesus is asking the Lord, he's asking the Father, "Hey, if it works out this way, let this cup pass from me." He's saying, "Let me not have to do that." Isn't that crazy? Jesus, the Son of God, said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but not as I will, as you will." And we all know the story that Jesus ended up going to the cross and dying for our sins. But notice this, God did not rebuke Jesus. The Father didn't say, "Son, I can't believe you would ask me for such a thing. How could you?" The Father didn't rebuke Jesus because Jesus knew the freedom that he had as a son or as a daughter of God to ask their Father anything. But in the end, Jesus desired God's will above all other things. How many of you guys know we can get distracted? We can get distracted in our lives about what we want or what we need, and it's important for us to stick close to God's will so that we know what to pray. But Jesus didn't get offended. Did you know that there was a man one time who was about to die? His name was Hezekiah. He's in the Old Testament. He's a king in the Old Testament. He was about to die, and he said, "God, give me 15 more years. Some of y'all in the room today walked in saying that. "Lord, give me 15 more years. And so he was about to die, and God granted him 15 more years. Insane. It's a crazy story. I think it's in 1 Samuel. Go read it. It's crazy. But that wasn't Jesus's call. That wasn't what God had in store for him, and he didn't get offended. You know, from the limited perspective of a human parent, which I am, very imperfect, there's some things that I will never give my kids. I don't care if they ask me. They're welcome to ask me. How many of you guys know there's some things I will never give my kids? If they ask me for a cup of cyanide, I don't care how many times they ask me, I will not be giving them that, right? There's some things that when my kids are young and immature, they don't even know what they're asking. They don't even know what they're asking me. Daddy, I want to play by myself outside of the road. Okay, you've asked me 20 times, son. Go ahead. Right? Now, there's some things I will give them anytime, any place. I don't care where we are. If I'm close to my son or my daughter and they ask me for a kiss, you bet I'm going to be giving them a kiss. I don't care the circumstances. There's some things I will always give my kids, no matter when or what they ask. And then there's some things, it depends on where we're at. It depends on what the setting is. It depends on if they can handle it or not, right? It depends on the timing. And you see, as my kids grow and mature, they're going to learn more when to ask, how to ask, what to ask. And as we mature in our relationship with Jesus, the same is true for us. You know, as we become more mature, we'll ask things that are more in line with his will, in line with his ways. But what will never change is the fact that you are his son, you are his daughter, and you always have his ear. Amen. Amen. So last thing, I'm going to finish up with this. Last thing to share with you today about why I believe we need to lean into prayer again is we need to grow in our discernment of God's will. Look at 1 John 5, verse 14, it says, and this is the confidence, so you can be confident that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. The more time we spend with the Father, the more time we spend abiding in his word and in his presence, the more we will grow in our understanding of his will, and I believe we will pray powerful and effective prayers from that place. As I get ready to close today, something that I find pretty incredible about the story of Nehemiah that we just read is that when Nehemiah asked about Jerusalem, this was 70 years after the Israelites had already gone back to Jerusalem. King Cyrus had given the decree. They had already rebuilt the temple. The temple had been rebuilt for 70 years. And when Nehemiah asks what the report is, the report is still that the people of Israel are in great trouble and in great shame. And what's crazy is that in those 70 years, there had actually been 5 different political leaders. 5 different political leaders since King Cyrus had made that decree. And this is a reminder to me as a Christian that regardless of who is in political office, regardless of how they do or do not sympathize with people of faith, the responsibility to see the kingdom of God restored on earth will never fall to somebody in political office. It will always fall on the people of God. You see, I'm not waiting on a bill to be passed to see God's kingdom come to earth. I'm not waiting on a man to be elected to see God's kingdom come to earth. The only man who will bring God's kingdom to earth is a man named Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And he said, the kingdom is here. It's our responsibility. It's our responsibility to seek God, to seek his face. And as his word says, that when we do that, when we repent, when we turn from our wicked ways, and we humble ourselves before him, that he will heal our land. I'm clear on this. The word is clear on this. The Bible says that the word, the church of the living God, is the pillar and buttress of truth. The church of the living God is the pillar and the buttress of truth. And it says this, the gates of hell will not stand against the church. It might stand against other things, but it won't stand against the church. Because our battle is not against flesh and blood. Our battle is against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. I believe it's time for the church to put on our armor again. I believe it's time for the church to rebuild the walls of prayer again. Every Sunday, you know, we have people that pray before service, and we have people that pray up at the front for you, and I love that. It's important. It's why we do it. But can I tell you, church, that that is only one occasion. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 that we should pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayer and all kinds of requests made to the Lord. We cannot only pray on Sundays. We need to be praying in our homes. We need to be praying at work. We need to be praying in the car. You know, in week 3 of the All In series, when you go back and listen to it, Pastor Tim does an incredible job explaining how the Holy Spirit can give language to our prayers. That when we don't know what to pray, he can actually pray through us in a heavenly language. And I would encourage you to go back and listen to that. I'm sure Pastor Tim will do a way better job talking about that than me. But as we close today, I kind of wanted to take time to do what we're talking about. The worst thing we can do, James said, like James, the brother of Jesus, he wrote in the Bible, he said, the worst thing we can do is like look in the mirror of the Bible and then walk away and forget it. To not actually do what it says. And so I just want to take these next few minutes to pray. And this is how we're going to do this. We're not going to embarrass anybody, which is always a good thing, right? I don't want to embarrass anybody, but we want to be intentional. And so this morning, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask if anybody knows anybody, if you know somebody in your family, in your circle that is going through or struggling with one of these topics, that you would stand up and stand in the gap for them, that you'd stand up as a sign that you're representing them. Now, maybe that person is you. Guess what? None of us know the difference. We don't know if it's you. We don't know if it's somebody else. So if that's you, you should probably stand up as well. So I'm going to ask, hey, if you know somebody that's going through one of these situations, would you please stand up? And then church, we are going to pray for them, all right? So if you know somebody that is going through a difficult time in their marriage, would you stand up? If you know somebody that is going through a difficult time in their marriage, would you please stand up? Church family, would you stretch out your hands towards these people? If someone's around you, just stretch out your hand as a sign of agreement. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we come before you knowing that you are the creator of marriage. Father, you said in your word what God has joined together, let no one separate. God, we pray for every man and woman that is struggling right now in their marriage. Lord, each one of these people represents a family or a friend or a person that is struggling in the marriage that they're in. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that the God of heaven would come right now. The Holy Spirit would come and breathe upon their relationship, their marriage. We pray that the love of Jesus would be the center of their relationship. God, that forgiveness would be sown. God, that bitterness would fall right now. In the name of Jesus, we come against every bitter thought that has held itself up against the truth of the gospel right now. We tear down every stronghold of the enemy right now, and we declare the love of Christ flow. The love of Christ be born into the hearts of every man and every woman. God, we pray for healthy conversations. We pray that they would talk to each other again. We pray, Father, that you would remind them of what your word says. God, that they would serve one another again. That they would love one another again. God, that the grace of God would be poured out on these relationships. Give them wisdom. Give them counsel. Lord, that you would bring them godly counselors, godly pastors to walk them through anything they're going through right now. We lift up these marriages to you. We say, have mercy, God. Have mercy in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Hey, if you know anybody that, amen. Just stick with me a few more moments. We're almost done, I promise. This is important. I believe this is important. If you know anybody that's struggling with anxiety or depression, you know somebody, they're on pills, they're struggling with anxiety or depression, they're in and out of counseling, it's a consistent thing. I'm not just talking about, like, you know, you forgot to study for your test and you're nervous. I'm talking about anxiety and depression right now. Come on, stretch out your hands, church. Father, in the name of Jesus, your word says that you speak peace to your saints, to those that fear the Lord, Father. And right now, I speak peace in the name of Jesus. We speak peace in the name of Jesus. We come against every thought that is not from you, God. We pray in Jesus' name that your spirit would flood the hearts and minds of your people. God, the people that are not in this room, Father, we pray that they would encounter the peace, the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, that they would encounter him right now in their home, in their car. We come against every thought of suicide right now. In Jesus' name, we pray that the lies of the enemy would fall in Jesus' name, and we declare and plead the blood of Jesus over every mind right now in this room, the blood of Jesus. God, we thank you for peace. We thank you that we will walk in freedom of anxiety and depression in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God some glory. We're almost done. We actually still haven't gone over time. We're right at 11:30, so we're almost done. Come on, hang with me a few more moments. This matters. God answers prayer. Right now, if you know anybody that's dealing with addiction, drugs, alcohol, pills, whatever, pornography, doesn't matter. You know somebody that's addicted to something, it has a grasp on their life. Come on, would you stand in the gap for them right now? In church, would you help me pray with the saints on behalf of these people? Father, we know what your word says. Your word says that who the Son sets free is free indeed. God, you said we're no longer a slave to sin, but that we are a slave unto righteousness. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, we pray that a revelation of the freedom of Christ would fall on this house and on every person represented today, every person that's standing in the gap for someone, Lord, that those people would encounter the power of Jesus that breaks the chains of darkness off of people, chains of addiction, chains that have wired brains. God, we pray that you would rewire the brain from the renewing of their mind by the word of Christ. Right now, God, that they would daily be in your word, that they would daily be praying, that they would daily be filled with the Spirit of God so that they can walk in the freedom that you purchased for us on that cross, Jesus. We declare freedom over every mind, over every body right now. God, even now, Lord, we ask that there would be people in the room, Lord, that they would not experience the symptoms of withdrawal, God, as they go home today, Lord. God, that supernaturally, God, they're afraid. I know what it's going to be like when I put down that cigarette, when I put down that vape, God. I know what it's going to be like. Lord, I pray that by your Spirit you would meet them and that you would either give them the grace to move through it or that you would lift every single symptom in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Come on, let's give God some glory. All right. You guys can sit down. We're gonna pray for two more things. We're done. You guys can stay seated for this. Actually, why don't we all stand? How about everybody stand? I think it's better to pray and stand. We're going to pray for the people of Texas that have just gone through a terrible flood. Come on, let's lift up these families, these churches. Lord, we don't understand how this works, God. Father, we don't understand. We know that your word told us that there was going to be natural disasters. God, it's a sign of the groaning of creation for your returning. But Lord, your word says that you reign on the just and the unjust. And so, God, we don't understand why, but all we know is we need you. We know that you're in control. We know that, God, you have not left your throne. And so we lift up, as the body of Christ, we lift up the families that are grieving right now, God. Holy Spirit, would you surround them? Would you comfort them? Would you embrace them? That they would feel the love of God, and not just from your Spirit, but from your people. We lift up the churches in the Texas, in the Georgetown area, in the Austin area. We lift up those churches. Let them be the hands and feet of Jesus. God, I pray that you would pour resources in from every direction. And God, that the church of Jesus Christ would be the light of the world in this dark time of Texas, God. And Lord, for anybody that's still alive, for anybody that's hanging on, Father, we just ask that you'd have mercy. We pray that you'd give wisdom to the first responders to find them, that you'd strengthen them, that you'd heal them. God, we pray that miracles would come out of this story. We pray that miracles would come out of this story in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Last thing today. I just had this on my heart. I want to lift up Pastor Tim and Alicia. They're getting ready to come back from a break, but I just pray that they come back so like full of faith that they'll be like, they'll walk in the room and be like, what did you guys do last week? Like, so come on, can we lift up our hands to the Lord and just ask, Father, we thank you for our senior leadership, our senior pastors, Pastor Tim and Alicia Gilligan. Jesus, we pray right now in the name of Jesus that their latter years would be full of your Spirit, that they would be full of anointing. Father, we pray in Jesus' name that there would be such an anointing on Pastor Tim and Alicia, God. God, that we need the word of the Lord in this time. God, we pray that Pastor Tim would have dreams and visions in the night, God, for what you want to do in Ocala, for what you want to do at this church, Lord. God, we pray in Jesus' name that every attack of the enemy on their life falls in Jesus' name. Every fiery dart of the enemy falls in Jesus' name. That they would put on the armor of God. That they would pull up that shield of faith every day to just put out and extinguish every thought, every fear. God, we pray for wisdom for our leaders, wisdom for our pastors, that they would pastor this church exactly the way you called them to pastor it, that they wouldn't get distracted, that they wouldn't look to the left or to the right, but that they would hear the voice of the Lord. God, whether it's a loud voice or that sweet, still, small voice, that they would hear the voice of the Lord. And Lord, that they would disciple this church in such a way that we shake the city, this county, this nation with the word of the Lord, with the power of God. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, to work in our pastors' lives. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, give God some praise.